In 3, 2, 1. All right, shut up. PSA for you. And honestly, a favor I can do for you. There is more that you can get in your day-to-day life at the Dollar Tree right now than you're thinking of. When I say that, I know you're like, oh, this. No, there's more than that. And I just encourage you to go in there and check it out, because I went a whole year once getting all my laundry detergent from there. So it's not like it can't be done. What I essentially mean by saying all this and giving you this kind of nugget of wisdom is that it's time now for the Disney Pod Classics. My name is still Harrison, just like last episode. And with me, just like last episode, is the beautiful, just like last episode, Jay. Jay, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Thank you, and looking forward to our session.
Hell yeah, dude.
From the future, a little goofy movie, Powerline action coming at you.
Oh, man. That thing looks fresh, too. That thing looks really nicely kept.
Target, maybe a year or two old.
I wonder if it could still look that way with Dollar Tree.
If you want to go fancy above your Dollar Tree, go Target.
As Jay pointed out, I'm kind of rocking the Beauty and the Beast rose, so we're thematically, we're all here. We're here for it, you know. What we do here at the Disney Pod Classics is incredibly important. It's what the world needs. We grew up watching all of these films. You know, they shaped who we were. They decided how we thought. You know, it was pretty much implanted us with all the values that we still carry around today. And me and Jay just happened by chance to find each other and become roommates in college, and spent way more time than adult males should up late at night discussing, you know, Disney top fives, villains, heroes, plot lines, and all the rest. You know, and now we've just decided we're almost 30. It's time for us to go back and really like look back towards our fundamentals and see exactly where we came from. We're watching all of these chronologically in order and seeing how they look with our seasoned eyes. So I wouldn't take us too seriously, but let's see where we get to. Today, Jay, as I'm sure you know, we are revisiting or visiting, depending on who you are, The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad, 1949. We're coming hot off of Bambi. And hot off of World War II. Tell me this.
Who won that?
Ichabod and Mr. Toad. Yeah. Let me ask you, what was Ichabod and Mr. Toad like for you as a child? Or was it a thing for you as a child?
It was nothing up until about 5 years ago. Mm. I will say, the Headless Horseman, I think, is very iconic. And I knew and probably had even seen the clip of that from Ichabod Crane when I was a kid, but I didn't know anything more about Ichabod Crane. Couldn't pick him out of a lineup, which says a lot.
Yeah, you could, dude. I'm sure if any amount of people lined up and someone went to you and said, for $1 million, pick out the one whose name is Ichabod Crane, you'd be like, probably that guy, I reckon.
Yeah.
Yeah,
depends. I mean, if you got like Edgar and Jasper.
That's a good point. You could get a good
next to him, though. Yeah, it would be more difficult.
Good point.
But yeah, about 5 years ago, I saw that Mr. Toad and Wind in the Willows was on YouTube for free. And I just remember one random morning seeing that someone had uploaded it, watched the whole thing.
Some angel.
Had no expectations at all. Completely loved it. Couldn't believe I hadn't seen it, and then rewatched it within 24 hours again. So
really?
I was way late on this, but I really enjoyed Mr. Toad piece and then Ichabod Crane. I think the first time I saw it was a couple years ago. But what about for you? Was this even a thing growing up for you?
This was not a thing growing up for me. My grandma was kind of the gatekeeper for a lot of my Disney viewing material. And if it didn't jive with her, with what she liked, then I couldn't have it. And I think this was kept off the shelves for me, or my shelves specifically. Somehow I know I've seen The Legend of Sleepy Hollow before, because I remembered that, and I remember the song. I remember Ichabod. But this Mr. Toad character was totally foreign to me. So it was a pleasant surprise. But all in all, I mean, the bottom line, and I'm sure you'll agree with this, it's like we're coming off of Bambi, which is like a masterpiece, you could say. And this is a collection of two short stories. And so it's not really in the same tier or category. You could even argue that it's not a classic, but chronologically it fits, so we're going with it. But it's just doesn't deserve the same amount of eyeballs that some of these other greats that we're doing do. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's the appetizer to the entree of Bambi.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. I know I read Wind in the Willows, and I don't remember how that lines up, but I remember it being a book that I did read when I was a yep. child.
I have it on my bookshelf. Should have grabbed it, actually.
Then. I don't know. Would you read it now that you've seen this movie?
I do plan to read it at some point. I read it as a kid.
Yeah,
I do remember the illustrations extremely well.
I kind of remember the illustrations too. It was like one of those great illustrated classics. Shout out, sponsor of the show, Great Illustrated Classics. Thank you so much.
Oh yeah, awesome. Yeah, good times. But Mr. Toad looks so different in this movie than he does in the books. Like almost to the point where I wasn't sure.
Couldn't even recognize him.
Yeah, exactly. If that's what it was being based on. Yeah. He's just an actual frog in the stories. And he's so much more of a character in the movie.
He is a character. So did you like it this time? Now that we've watched it again?
I said I watched Wind in the Willows back to back.
Going back to
and
back.
And that's the power of having no expectations. And I knew about Wind in the Willows and Mr. Toad's Wild Ride at Disneyland. So with that amount, I was interested enough to watch it. But each time I've seen either one of these movies since, it becomes a little bit more dull.
I totally agree.
Of the shininess of it. It's fine, but I think especially as we're watching so many of these Disney movies, it doesn't hold a candle. But it's still fun and light in many ways.
Not quite fun and fancy free, but nice it is one. Fun in its own right. I would say that something about Mr. Toad, the Adventure of Mr. Toad story, if you're not looking too deep in it, is exciting for a Disney fan that hasn't seen it. Because he's a very like animated character. There's a lot of moments in it where you're like, well, how did I not see this? But the overall story arcs of both of these short stories are pretty like, how is this a Disney classic at the same time? Like, how are we even, who is this for? I read somewhere that it was originally supposed to be called Two Fabulous Characters, which I think is a bit of an overstatement. If anything, it should have been called Two Fantastic Narrators, and that could have been a more appropriate title. But they switched it. Ichabod was apparently supposed to be a full feature-length film. Did you know that?
Yeah, they both were.
Really?
Mr. Toad was a full-length feature film, and Disney, Walt Disney, pared it down.
Who?
down to like 20, I think like cut out 20, 25 minutes of it. But
I just can't imagine.
In the Dumbo Bambi realm, like it was going to be the next big feature film, and then World War II hit, and then they focused on these short stories, and we're just popping out these animated stories, blending it together like some jumbo soup or gumbo soup, whatever.
Gumbo's better, yeah. That's good. We'll edit it in post, dude.
Gumbo jumbo, man.
Some of this jambalaya, it just soup, dude. The only other thing I thought was interesting. Well, okay, first off, based off of what you said, I cannot imagine either of these being a full-length film to compete with Bambi or Dumbo, and I think that if there's going to be a way these are created, this is probably the right way to do it. But even having said that, I'm like, take it or leave it. The last thing I wanted to say before we move into Wind in the Willows is it's a legend, but who knows? Apparently, when in the story, McBadger is doing the accounting, and he's getting on Mr. Toad for spending so much money. Mm-hmm. And apparently it was a satire of Walt Disney's brother, Roy, who was always telling the animators and people that he was spending too much money. And it was kind of a little cheap shot at him in form of a Scottish badger. So
you
can insult someone, that's a good way to do it.
Yeah. And it was cool to see that. And it seems to be more of a theme in these early ones than even in
taking
the
cheap shots.
Later movies. Yeah, exactly.
They don't have time for it later. Like, we're actually making a movie. We don't have time for your petty bullshit. But in the beginning, they're like, oh, make that the guy who told me we had my lunch the other day.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, one, really the only main thing that came from this movie that had like any long-lasting impact was this was really the first time that they had major stars in a Disney movie before, and they really wanted to make sure that it made money, of course. And so they had Basil Rathbone, who
Huge
your
fan.
boy
He's my
Sherlock
boy.
Holmes.
Absolutely.
So
Good
of
call.
course he narrated Wind in the Willows, and then Bing Crosby.
Also my boy.
Yeah, it's a couple of
I'm a
your boys.
big Kring Bosby fan.
Yeah. So Bing Crosby
Who knew?
narrated Ichabod Crane. So it's cool to see though, like, yeah, then later on you have Robin Williams as Genie, and
Yeah, it opens the door, doesn't it?
yeah, exactly. James Earl Jones as Mufas, RIP. Not the actor, I don't
Well,
think.
I don't
But
know, actually.
we'll check that. But yeah, let's jump in it.
okay, I don't think he's dead, man.
Yeah, he's still
Let's
around.
yeah, dude, he's good.
Yeah.
And we're all happy about that. He's great. I mean, Mufas, dude.
Yeah.
He's all of our fathers. So I'll start us off with The Wind in the Willows. This is my favorite of the two. You could argue the narrator is better or worse, but the movie is about an illustrious playboy toad who is just really irresponsible with his money and with his life in general, and his two very down-to-earth responsible friends who are kind of picking up the tab for his mischief. Essentially, he's going from mania to mania, as they put it. And the first one he's involved in is motor cars, or no, he's going around in a gypsy cart with his friend Cyril, and then sees a car, must have one, freaks out. They lock him up for his own good. He escapes and essentially gets put on trial for stealing a car. The trial happens, you figure out he didn't actually steal it, but he's kind of been framed. And the man behind this dastardly plan, Mr. Winky, and his house or his like cronies of badgers, or no, what were they, weasels?
Weasels.
Weasels, yeah, no, I'm good with animals. They're all in the house that he traded it for the car, Toad Hall. He made the swap. They're just living large. Toad breaks out of jail. They go try and find the deed to prove his innocence that it did actually happen. And it works in the end. And everyone thinks that Toad's been rehabilitated until the last scene is him flying around in a Wright Brothers aircraft and onto his next mania. So here's my question. And honestly, this is a pretty funny one for me because I watched this with my mother, and my mom had never seen it. Ma
Oh,
was
wow.
not a fan of either of these in a
Yeah.
big way, to the point where I was telling her I was about to do it tonight, got riled up. She's just like, I just can't believe that Toad. My question, and one of the questions that she posited during, but in a very concerned and heartfelt manner, was how did these two people become friends with him? Like, how can you imagine that Toad ends up in cahoots with these responsible, well-to-do characters? Because they obviously have been friends for some kind. How'd they get wrapped up in his bull? What do you think?
You gotta imagine that started out in childhood, and they just built that connection early on, and the two of them are so nice and loyal
They really
that
are.
even though Toad's crazy, and like,
He really is.
and Cyril, he's like the classic,
Enabler.
he's the classic like friend where it's like if he were to get rehabilitated, be like, oh my gosh, you've changed so much, Toad. Like, even if it's for
Yeah,
the better,
he'd be the
and
one
they
with the
would lose
pushback.
touch.
Absolutely. It's one or the other. It's like your junkie friend that you can't like deal with once you've gotten clean or
Yeah,
something.
exactly. Like, yeah, once you're done
Oh, you don't
partying, like, you
party
realize,
anymore,
like,
dude?
yeah, it's like we
Yeah,
actually don't have anything in common if we're not
yeah. We
blitzing
just
through
liked
barns
manias,
and
dude.
cutting down fences.
Yeah, the other question I had for you is, it's interesting in this one, and I don't remember another movie like it where humans and animals live side by side in almost total equality, where literally there is a gang of humans at this frog's door looking to have him settle the debts for the damages he's caused. How would you do? And you're not a big animal guy. I know that
No.
about you. How would you do in a world where you had to like potentially loan money or borrow money from a raccoon? I know by saying raccoon, I triggered you, but let's just make it like a squirrel.
Oh, let's just pick a random animal for you. No. What's the one you're most afraid of? I don't think I would do well. I would have less advantage than I do right now.
That's
just
true.
With interacting with humans.
Yeah, go to a party, half of it's animals.
Yeah.
Bitch animals, like animals that are doing better than you are.
It would be tough.
Yeah,
they got like nice clothes and stuff.
Isn't that interesting though? There's spores and stuff that are just for frogs and whatnot.
Yeah, I didn't make that connection. And typically with most Disney movies, it's very clear cut.
There is a separation.
Yeah, whether animals are actually animals or are they more human-like characters.
He gets thrown in an adult human jail by adult humans after being processed by a court of adult humans. And he's a frog, let's not forget.
Yeah.
It's just weird. It's really interesting.
It's a good point. I don't really have anything good though.
That's perhaps the best lasting thing from this film. I mean, I think you can throw away all the characters. They're all nice, but it's interesting about this part that that's the world that they built. And I think that's the thing. I'll be like, that was unique for that. It was strange. I liked that.
The other movie that comes to mind is Who Framed Roger Rabbit much later, 40 years. But that movie did an amazing job of blending animation
and real life
humans.
Like Mary Poppins.
That also included animals interacting with humans really seamlessly and loved that movie. But one of the reasons why I really loved Mr. Toad, the first time I watched it, is I didn't know that the weasels from Who Framed Roger Rabbit are these same weasels.
Yeah, that's a good call.
It's not like they stole it from them. Like, it was a tribute to the...
It's an Easter egg. It's Conspiracy Corner. It's literally them.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. And they got, like, the little hats on and sweaters. I just... Yeah, every time I see that, it makes me smile because those characters are so funny in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. That actually adds more to this story as well for me.
Yeah, I knew you'd like that. You're a big Who Framed Roger Rabbit guy, and I can't wait to get to that one. And we'll look at it with the lens of we've seen this movie, and I think I can draw comparisons for the two, especially because there is a direct link. My favorite scene from this entire story is the court scene. Are you in the same boat, or was there other parts of the show that you did? Because I think the court scene is hilarious, the way it's set up. The prosecuting attorney's hilarious. And speaking of Conspiracy Corner, he really throws me like Captain Hook's son's vibes or something like that. Like in a big way. The way he talks, the way he moves, the way
Why
he looks.
Why his son?
Just because I want it to be Captain Hook, like pre or post Neverland, but like I don't really understand the timeline enough, so I just figured it'd be easier to say it was a family member. But we could say Captain Hook before, like after he leaves Neverland. He grew up and decided to get a real job and became a prosecuting attorney.
I could actually see Captain Hook being an attorney.
I could too. That's why it got me. Yeah, I really felt that way. Wouldn't he be? And he's there. How did he get a motor car? I'm just like, he's yelling down Smeed's shirt right now. This is perfect.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm feeling a million
the
bucks.
Court, I mean, the court scene, actually, it's kind of a wash for me.
It's long, too. It is long.
But, yeah, it wasn't my favorite scene. My favorite scene is definitely when they are approaching Toad Hall at the end, and they're in the boat.
Yeah.
And they're going through the little riverway. And it's just misty. There's snow on the ground. It's shortly after Christmas, as they say. And it gets to the point when they're crossing under the bridge. And the narrator's doing a great job of saying, you know, you got to be cautious. You know, all four of their lives are in extreme danger right now. They can't let a soul see them. And they see one weasel. And Toad pulls out his gun and tries to cap him, says, I'm going to pop him off. And the whole blows up in their face.
It's true. That is, I knew you'd love that. It is like really fun. They do a good job of kind of those, like the narrator will build some feeling and then they'll immediately splash to something completely contradictory.
Yeah.
One of those scenes as well is when they're watching Toad get away from his house and he's crawling over the bridge and he's saying, oh, you know, he'll have to go off into the night and hopefully not get. And then it just says Toad captured on a big newspaper. And yes, you start seeing all these things. And I actually went and paused. I went back to the film and paused it because we have some experience with the newspaper clip. And so I was just trying to see what we had here. Mm. There are some amazing headlines. I'm going to read a few of them to you. They're only up Please there for do. A couple seconds, but they are phenomenal. I've had to narrow this down. This is like my favorite half of them. They're so good. One of them, bandit shot down in Canada holdup. Meteorite falls near baby. Reconstruction follows storm in Puerto Rico. Chinese pirates kill two Britons. And this is an interesting one. Church rule against indulgence in amusements is unchanged. Subhead, vote was close. Victory cited in fight against yellow fever. And perhaps my favorite one, the headline, studies traffic in all-night ride. I looked into it at the text in it, and it says, British transport minister sits with truck driver on crowded highway and goes on to speak about how infractions had been given out both professionally and non-professionally to multiple drivers. They did some work on these newspapers, and I think that shows so much more effort than they put into like character redemption or development. And I love yeah. that is where I want the details right there. How good is that?
It's so wacky as well, because they show four or five different newspapers, and we both, I knew that you would have paused and looked at them, because I looked through them a bit, not to that detail though, because you know, we got lives.
And but, I have great eyes.
Yeah, or eyes. Yeah, either one. But One thing that I noticed was it was funny reading the text that they included, and just like they never thought in 1949 that pausing
you couldn't even would pause, be available. Could you?
Yeah, you know, like it was all.
That's a really good point.
I'm surprised that they took so much time and effort to make this content. Because I can't imagine that they ever thought
this is gonna
be in a world
it.
Where you can pause it on this phone thing and we can zoom in and read the text.
Yeah, there was one article I saw where the headline was one thing and the text actually was from another article, and I was
I saw a copy and paste.
Yeah, it was definitely a copy and paste. Point. But then the rest of the segment seemed to not be. So it was just a very weird thing.
Yeah.
The one thing, my mom, our main listener, my mother, will probably kill me if I don't bring it up before we move on to The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, but she hates Toad. She thinks he's the most irresponsible person. She hates the way he teaches her, you know, what it teaches children, and how he treats his friends and the situations that he gets into. There really is no redemption at the end, because obviously he's in an upgraded mania of flight, which could go so much worse. I don't know how he still got the money to finance it if he's paying off these debts, but did you dislike Toad, or was he so wacky that you kind of had a soft spot for him?
So wacky, I had a soft spot for him.
I was in the same boat. I can't disagree with her, but because, you know, the logic is there. But there's something about him where I was like, you know what? He'd be a fun guy to have at a party.
It's because they don't frame – either one of these movies, they don't frame it as like, oh, here's your main hero of the story, and you get disappointed by him. Yeah. I think not having any expectations for these main characters that you're following makes the whole thing much more enjoyable, because like character-wise, they're not
the same.
They're not good creatures.
That's a good point.
I mean, Toad is Justin Bieber. if you haven't seen this, that is the easiest way
man.
To sum this up.
Just a Playboy,
first of all,
dude.
TMZ essentially already focused on Toad with all the newspaper clippings, so they ate that up.
Oh, front page.
In the newspaper, actually, it said Speed Mania lands wealthy Playboy in Tools of the Law. Which wealthy Playboy
and
the law, it's like it could have just as easily, you just insert Justin Bieber.
Absolutely.
If we found one of his clippings of going 100 miles an hour.
Circa 2015 or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Waving to his friends in the courtroom, like not taking it serious.
My favorite wave.
And then also just selling Toad's Hall for a car as well. The whole thing.
Well, we need to lay off the Biebs, like, dude. We're gonna get thrashed.
Well, no,
we love you, dude.
Biebs, yeah, it's cool.
Terrible business decisions. So Biebs, dude.
Exactly. And then also when Toad's like, "Yeah, I'm not afraid of the police," and then the door knocks, he's like, "It's the police."
Yeah, that's
and,
good stuff.
And he gets really scared. But in the Toad Hall in your favorite court scene, they mention that Toad's Hall, they can't believe that he would sell it for this car because the estimate was £100,000. And I did some research on determining roughly what year this would be.
Okay.
And when cars first were being developed, I picked like 1880s in that realm. What $100,000 was in pounds, did the inflation for today, and then converted it into USD.
That behind the scenes work only here at the Old Pot Classics.
Exactly.
Right?
You got your magnifying glass out there. Breathing.
I'm working the microscope on the scene. Yeah.
So it's Toad's Hall is worth $16.6 million in today's world.
Oh my gosh. Emotica.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. That's and good.
I love
you're getting a promotion.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. I do deserve it.
Yeah, great.
I've been working really hard, actually.
I've been putting in the extra hours, man. Thank you for noticing.
I recognize. I'm going to send this recording to my mom.
Yeah.
So then.
Me too.
I think the setting as well, Mr. Toad, it could have flopped super easy if the just the setting of Toad Hall on the river, the snowy background and like all the rolling hills in outer parts of London. I really bought into that scenery. And I think that the main thing that this both films have going for them is the setting that they take place in.
And I think I would work hard on
the verge of like hating parts of both of these movies if I didn't really enjoy the setting that we were in for those 30 plus minutes on each of these movies.
Interesting. And setting is a big thing that they invested in, especially in this next one, which I'll let you take us away on. But it apparently they visited some place that they modeled Tarrytown or whatever it was from Ichabod and spent time there to make sure they got it correct. So they cared a lot about that. But why don't you shoot us through The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, Jay?
Yes. So you get introduced to Ichabod Crane, tall, lengthy fellow.
Are they shovels or are they feet?
Yeah, you can't tell. He's in a small town and in Sleepy Hollow. And he is a school teacher that only cares about the students where their mother makes good food. And he's very food motivated, to say the least. And then you realize he's very money motivated as well, as he's very attractive to Katrina, woman in the town.
Arguably a woman.
Just as much for her looks as her dad is extremely wealthy and wants all of the gold. So it all culminates to a big dance-off. In much older school days, it's not like Stomp the Yard by any means.
It was like Footloose.
Yeah, exactly.
A game of chicken.
You said this was a party. Let's dance. So then you have Ichabod.
Footloose quote.
Doing great with all the dance moves and all
He's
that.
He's the greatest dancer.
He really was.
Yeah.
And then Brom Bones, who is essentially Gaston.
Who? Yeah, I was going to say Gaston version one. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, if you haven't seen this movie, it's Gaston.
It is.
Yeah. Yep. And then he tells this scary story about Sleepy Hollow and the Headless Horseman. And then, of course, Ichabod has to go out that night. And that's probably the most iconic scene is when he's actually being chased by the Headless Horseman. And it kind of just leaves it as a dot, 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 where it seems like he survived, but I guess ultimately it's up to your interpretation. So I will start by saying, is Brom Bones, do you think he was the Headless Horseman in disguise, or is the Headless Horseman real, or the spirit of it?
See, I don't have definitive evidence either way. It would
same
the motive
horse,
is there.
Very similar horse.
You think? Is it black? Like it had red
eyes.
Yeah,
black with red eyes.
It has red eyes in the town.
That was his horse.
That was the only way I was going to think. And when I looked at the horse, I'm like, that thing looks spectacular, as in it's kind of a specter, ghostly, you could put it. So I didn't think it was the same horse. If it's the same horse, then it has to be. My question would then be, did he kill him?
Yeah.
Did Ichabod die? Did Ichabod die? That's the real question. I mean, if it was Brom Bones, he wouldn't stop at the bridge if he was trying to kill him. If he was trying to scare him, it would make sense, but that gives him a lot of credit and a lot of setup time and a really – like, there's the one part where he's riding on – and this scene lasts so long. Like, it's essentially, if you haven't seen – or if you have seen Winnie the Pooh, The Great Adventures of Winnie the Pooh or whatever it's called, where Rabbit gets really freaked out in the forest and starts hearing a bunch of different noises and has, like, an anxiety attack.
Yeah.
That's this scene, but just, like, double the length.
Yeah.
Some of even the same shots were used, I reckon, with like reeds blowing and stuff. But
yeah.
I mean, obviously it came first, but.
Slash Snow White being scared in the woods as well.
Yes.
Like three times as
it's
long as
so long. And then even the slapstick, like who's going to come out on top of this horse race thing is super long. But there's a part where he looks down his shirt and is very scared at what he sees, which I took to mean he sees nothing down there. Like, so he would have seen Brom Bones been like, oh shit, it's you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you think it is? Cause I could, I mean, it seems like they want you to think it is. Cause he marries the girl right after. So you're like, that went well.
I've always assumed it is.
Brom Bones is such a garbage name. And he's not as bad of a character as I thought. When they come in with Gaston later, they really make it so you dislike Gaston more than you know you're supposed to dislike Brom Bones, but he's really nice to like animals. He's really just being a guy with his friends. They talk about him pulling pranks and stuff. He's like not as evil as I kind of would have thought he was. But then I guess if he's going to pull some like murder in the woods kind of thing, then that changes that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, he did get the girl at the end, which it's just weird. It's weird that you're invested in Ichabod.
Well, my question,
but then the whole story comes out.
Who do you even like in this story? Are you invested in Ichabod?
I definitely enjoy this entire story less than Mr. Toad.
Yeah.
I don't like Ichabod.
No.
And all of your chips, if you don't like Ichabod, you're not going to like this story.
Who likes Ichabod? Like, he's selfish. My mom says he's got a tapeworm, which is really funny because he just eats so much. I don't know. Here, I've got a trivia question for you before I forget about it. That in this world, Bing Crosby uses the word pedagogue a ton. Do you know what that means?
No.
I didn't either. You heard it, right? He uses it like five times.
Yeah.
Pedagogue means a teacher, especially a strict or pedantic one. So it literally was describing him as the schoolmaster. He's bad at that. He's selfish. He doesn't care about anyone but himself. There's not much about, I mean, he looks like a weather vane. He doesn't make anything happen that you agree with. You don't necessarily even want him to succeed, but you kind of know you're supposed to. So it's a very weird ride.
Yeah.
Here's a great way to put it. I didn't feel bad when the story didn't end in his favor, but I didn't feel good about the story ending that way at all. Like, it was just like, I didn't like Katrina. I thought she looked like a mix between Cinderella and the Dutch marionette from Pinocchio, and the animation was weird. And I was like, this is the like cream of the crop. Come on now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They bounced back strong with Cinderella a year later.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it was not their highest quality of work.
Who did you like the most? Ichabod? Because you have to?
In this specific story?
Yeah.
Jeez. Maybe the larger girl in the green.
Yeah.
She was kind of funny with the short cut. I thought she was kind of funny. But it begs the question, and the only research that I was able to find with this, because I'm fascinated by it, is the reason why these two stories were stitched together is because both of the characters are prone to disaster. Do you think now with Disney Plus, and it is so easy to just separate these movies. Do you think they even should be connected? And does
Oh,
it
great
help
question.
both stories or actually
No.
hurt them?
It definitely hurts them. I don't even need to think about it. You put Mr. Toad on its own, I think it feels better than in matched with Ichabod. I think Ichabod only gets its views probably from being attached to it. If there's even like the Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad truthers out there, but I don't think that they need, they're prone to disaster. It's more like two unlikable characters that create bad things for themselves based on their decisions. If that's what links them together, I don't think that's drawing a crowd. But I don't, no, we don't need it to be like that. With Disney Plus, you
Yeah.
could watch, they have like short film sections or like short
Yeah,
clips.
all the
Just
time.
split them up. Split them
Yeah.
up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing because it was released like that, but I don't know. I'm not, I don't think it's necessary to marry them.
Yeah, I completely agree. And
Mr. Toad and
when I
Ichabod Divorce
liked Wind in the
2020.
Willows the most, I just watched it by itself. I didn't even realize that it was part of
Totally.
another movie as well.
If they had put characters in each other, now that would have been interesting.
Yeah, they. What I wanted was to see the weasels in both stories, for
One
instance.
link would have been
Yeah,
really nice.
it would have.
Really nice. And then I would say, yeah, leave it. But I don't know. Do you have anything else on this one, or do you want to move to our favorites?
I have one holiday-related question for you.
Oh, hit me.
So, Mr. Toad, they
Okay.
had Christmas depicted, with snow, and
Your
I'll always
favorite.
love that. And
Love
then
it.
Ichabod, of course, was on Halloween night. Do
It
you
was
think,
Halloween for sure.
yeah,
Yeah, I
yep,
guess that makes
that was
sense.
when the Headless Horseman came. So do you think Mr. Toad is more of a Christmas movie where like around the holidays you might think of like popping it in? Or is Ichabod Crane more of a Halloween movie?
Ichabod's more of a Halloween movie. I think it has to do like the whole the largest plot mover is the fact that this curse is on Halloween. I think I probably saw Ichabod's story on Halloween by itself, and that's where I grew up,
Yeah.
like what I grew up with. I think they played it back
I
then.
think it was like in elementary school. Like, if
I
I'm
That's where I'm
really
thinking
thinking
too.
strong, I
I
think I
know I never
watched
had
it
it.
in the classroom.
I think that's exactly right. Like it's the kind of movie I could see you playing around the time, but I don't know who would be like, oh, I just love those, cozy Halloween seasons where my family gathers around and watches Ichabod Crane.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think the easiest way to sum up Ichabod, you know how Disney did like the Paul Bunyan, Johnny Appleseed short depictions, like those animations?
He's a tall tale.
It's like that, but if you don't actually like the main character.
That's not a bad way to put it at all. That's not a bad way to put it at all. I did think that Bing Crosby narrating this movie was a really interesting blend because I love Bing Crosby and he's got such a like charming,
Christmas.
affect to
It
him.
just every time he
You would
talks,
think,
I
yeah,
just
you
hear
would think.
Christmas.
You could have swapped them and it'd be just fine. Actually, Basil Rathbone has a more creepy voice that you could have used for this one. Swap the
Oh
narrators. Why not? Bing
yeah. Yeah, I like
Crosby
that
would have.
idea actually.
I'm getting a promotion, dude.
We're promoting each other.
We're both like
It's
king
official.
of the podcast. CEO was a long time ago, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you have anything for what you may have missed? I mean, in my opinion, you may have missed this whole film, but you definitely may have missed the fact that both these characters have very little about them to like. I think
Yeah.
it could probably go over your head. You just buy in when you're a kid. You think, oh, these are the main characters, and
Yeah.
you still haven't had the world slap you in the face
Yeah,
and realize
I don't
not
have
all main
anything there.
characters are good. Okay, let's move to our favorite categories. Favorite song, what do you got? Because there's not a ton here, is there?
Just the intro, the Ichabod and Mr.
That is
Toad.
actually a
Da,
nice
da,
one. It sounds
da.
like it
Yeah.
could be like a show title song.
Yeah. Yeah.
My favorite.
I will get that stuck in my head like a couple times a
I
year.
yeah, I've always had it in my head, and I can't tell you why, because I probably watched it once, which says a lot about it. Mine had to be the Headless Horseman song at the end, just because Bing Crosby does it. I
Yeah.
did find out a very interesting thing about that song, though. So apparently, Bing Crosby actually brought in all of his sons, which had very interesting names. He's got like twins, two others. I don't care.
Brombones.
Yeah, Brombones, Ichabod, Toad, and yeah. Crazy Bones. Bojangles. I don't know. And he recorded it, but originally it was recorded by a guy named, and let's see if you can, I could see you recognizing it, but not to put pressure on you, Thurl Ravenscroft, who did the song Look Out, or how would you say, You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch.
Oh.
And I listened to the recording of his version of it, and it's crazy. And it really should have been the one. I liked Bing Crosby's because it was more swinging.
Yeah.
But like, imagine You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch, like that deep voice doing that song. It's actually way scarier. It's really
nice.
Wow,
I like
that. Look it up. Maybe we'll link it somewhere. I'll help you. I'll help you find it.
Thank you.
Who's your favorite character?
Mr. Toad.
Yeah, obviously.
Short and simple.
Yeah, I'll go with Captain Hook's son, the attorney, because I just thought he was funny.
Yeah.
And underplayed. Did you like, I mean, like, obviously, Basil Rathbone, if you don't know, is Sherlock Holmes, the original one back in, you know, whenever they did that, and the voice of a lot of the radio shows. It seemed to me like the water rat, which I don't know what the hell that is. That just sounds like a nightmare, like a land shark or a water rat or something like that. But the water rat and mole, they seem to me to be like Sherlock Holmes and Watson.
Yes.
Did you like them? Like, how'd you feel about that? I just felt I felt bad for him a lot of the time.
Yeah, I could
didn't really bring him up.
I could have more content with them, actually. Like, I wouldn't
their mind. Own little adventures.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't mind there being another couple of short stories or even like a season of this animation.
Yeah, it's a good point.
I can't see the same for Ichabod.
No,
like, I want to get out of that world quickly.
What was your favorite scene?
Favorite scene was the waterway when they're going back to
I'll pop him off.
Yeah.
It is really funny.
It's suspenseful. You don't actually know what's going to happen.
It's abrupt,
for a lot of people that haven't seen it. Yeah, it's fun.
Mine's also in Mr. Toad's story where they're in – it's the big, like, crazy Robin Hood passing the deed back and forth thing. And my favorite moment specifically is when they make it into a paper airplane and Toad – he just has this like kind of likable and also frustrating confidence about him where it just seems like he thinks everything's going to go great. There's a moment where he's standing there and the paper airplane's coming to him and he just kind of reaches out like almost like a no look, like pinching the tip of the airplane and it just backs away and flies and he's like, oh gad, and doesn't get it. And it's just like, it's really funny to see him kind of mess up. I thought that was the most like clever, felt kind of like Emperor's New Groovy almost before its time.
It is really weird you said that. I was about to bring that up.
I'm a weird guy, Jay. I'm a weird guy.
I thought that in certain points on the quick, like, oh, he snuck off out of Toad's Hall, arrested, stolen car.
Yeah,
like those snapshot things. Mm-hmm. Emperor's New Groove does that phenomenally. And this is certainly the first time I've seen it in the Disney
timeline. And I cannot wait. I cannot wait. More of that is the, like the game
20,
plan.
20 years, man.
Yup.
Yeah. In 20 real years, not Disney.
Yeah, no, I know what you meant. Exactly. It's a lot longer than 20 years if we're talking Disney time.
Nice one.
Favorite quote, do you have one?
I'll pop them off.
Well, you're a complex guy, aren't you? No. I gotta go with either, there's two for Mr. Toad. I got nothing for Ichabod, man. It's not a lot of love there, but the classic, I could show you the world, travel, change, excitement.
Yeah.
I liked that one, but my favorite's got to be Cyril, who's not like a great character, but he's kind of like that like Southeast London charming. Where he introduces him, bit of a tata, bit of a rata. And I think that's a really funny way that never introduce myself. Thank you. Okay, let's move on to our playground pick'em. For this one, let's say we have to take each of these main characters to an event or a gathering of some sort. There's some places you'd love to take these people. There's other places you would hate to. So we'll pick one of each for each of the characters.
Yep.
For example, for the thing that you would have to take Ichabod to, I will say a family member's wedding where I think it could be a great thing in some weddings. Like if he was a wedding, like dude, cause the man can dance, he's going to eat everything. He's going to like be a participant in this wedding, but to have to explain him, he's not going to go unnoticed, and he's probably going to like cause some social ripples when he ends up stealing someone's wife at the actual engagement ceremony,
yeah,
or whatever. Like, ooh, how would you manage him?
You know who he looks so much like?
Me.
Is Eric's, Prince Eric, mm-hmm. You know, his like dad or father figure.
Kind of.
Come on, that's much closer than I think you're imagining. No. I imagined Ichabod Crane in like a normal wedding outfit, and that actually just popped in if you combine those two. He would be tough at a wedding. I wouldn't like to take him to any engagement where romance might exist.
Oh, either. Yeah.
Like, it would be so uncomfortable bringing him anywhere and just being like, God, this, like, creeper. Like,
he is creepy, who the hell did you bring? Man.
Yeah, I, that would be the most uncomfortable.
Like a parent-teacher conference or something where, like, he's, like, also a teacher and, like, talks about it and then, like, eats all the snacks and stuff.
Yeah, I don't trust him.
Where do you think you'd be the best to take him? Like, where would he have the most fun where you'd be like, I feel okay, this is a great thing for you?
I like going fishing. Fishing on the river.
He does kind of have just, that, like, I can keep calm in the right circumstance. But you gas him up, and he's ready to go. Like, puts that chalk on the face, dude, and it's over.
No night fishing with him.
Yeah. Where would you say the worst place that I'd have to take Mr. Toad would be?
Car dealership? a Tesla.
Yeah, that's a layup. That's a layup. But that told me, dude, they're just offering him a bunch of test drives because that's what you do there, and he's just all about it. And he would be the kind of guy that would request like 4 or 5 test drives after he's already run through like other things on the street. Just a complete reckless abandon.
Like, what happened to your guy? Like, he's been this test drive for a while. It's like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, he's gone. How long does that car go without needing to charge?
Yeah, exactly.
They'll find him that far away.
Yeah, exactly. Do the radius.
I think the best place to take the best place to take Mr. Toad would be like Pleasure Island from Pinocchio. Because, dude, imagine him in like a scrap. He would just be able to get all that energy out.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Smoking cigars.
Turn into a donkey. The first half of Pleasure Island.
Might help. He won't have as many like fingers to drive with. Or like a carnival. I could see a carnival being a great place to take him. Or like
Disneyland.
Just imagine. Holy crap. Yeah, dude, he would love it there. Would he get thrown out? Or is he that kind of – could he just be that excited and
– Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's not like he means to
– He might get thrown out. I mean, he would love going on his own ride. That's for sure.
Whew. Is that still around?
Last time I checked, yes. I think it's been swapped in a couple of the Disney parks. But when I looked earlier, it's at least in the Anaheim park. Which is impressive. I can't believe that Mr. Toad.
I can't believe it got its own ride. Yeah.
Yeah. Still. It's wacky.
Oh, no. Okay. Would you say this is worth a rewatch if you watched this growing up?
No.
Yeah. No. I think I got to agree with you. Would you say it's worth watching if you've never seen it?
I would watch Mr. Toad if you're a Disney fan. Just watch that part, though. I wouldn't watch Ichabod.
Would you show this to kids? This is a good thing for kids to see growing up. Both of them.
No, that's the easiest answer of any Disney movie.
The only downside to that answer is there is an element where I like the value that Ichabod gives off of, even though you may look crazy, you could still be desirable. Because he does very well with the ladies, whether we like to admit it or not. Like, imagine him stealing your girl. You'd just be like, what? Or, like, having to compete. Like, Brom Bones, attractive dude. Having to compete with this guy. Just, it shows that confidence is more important than looks. And I love that. And I think I've gotten by a lot with that in my life. So
you found a silver lining there. Because
It's microscopic. I brought out the microscope. I found that silver lining. But I think there's that. But is that worth showing him the whole thing? No.
No.
No, it's a garbage piece of cinema. All right, let's toast it.
Maybe to that.
Yeah. To a garbage piece of cinema. No. why don't you start us off, Jay?
I'm just going to say to a couple of characters that were prone to disaster, And I'm Team Toad through and through.
Yeah. And I'll say to the manias that take us and to the friends that bring us back to the ground. Cheers. And to our promotions, Jay. And that brings us to the end of The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad. I feel like I say that title different every time.
Yeah.
Looks like I nailed it. Yeah.
There's only like 400 different combinations.
Yeah, that's it. Tell me, Jay, what is our next one?
We have Cinderella.
Back on track. Man,
yeah, we are slingshotting out this quickly.
Yeah, we are. Absolutely.
1 year later.
Well, thank you so much for listening. We'll be doing Cinderella next time. Tell us what you think. See you next time. Bye.